This podcast is supported by listeners like you. We're grateful for your tax-deductible donation at newthoughtphilly.org or the link in the episode description.
A practical prayer is a prayer that works.
These discussions between Reverend Bill Marchione and Carol Lawrence dive into the details of how it works and how to work it.
Reverend Bill is a New Thought minister and the author of Practical Prayer for Real Results.
Your new life begins with a new thought.
Carol Lawrence is on a spiritual quest, finding the New Thought teaching after decades on the pulpit in three different traditional denominations.
I've got some questions.
Together, they're exploring the philosophy and activities that come together from many of the world's religions to create the practical spirituality that is New Thought.
Welcome to the Practical Prayer Podcast. I'm Carol, here with Reverend Dr. Bill Marchione.
Hi.
Hey there. And we have a wonderful, scary sounding episode to do today because we have decided to discuss sin. And I'm really looking forward to the topic. And it's because, as you were describing, on the other side of the street, it's really important. And In New Thought and the practical prayer circles over here, it's really not. So go ahead and say something about sin to get the whole thing charged up, and then we'll see how quickly we can discharge.
Yeah, well, to say that, and those who don't know the language I use, the other side of the street, that was when I was pastoring in the traditional church and living in that theology, you know, you're born into it and you do that stuff, right? So I understand it really well after 35 years serving as a pastor. So that's where I'm coming from. That's across the street.
Right, so people would come to you worried about their sins, and then you would have to deal with it.
I'd have to deal with it, but I never dealt with it quite the way I was supposed to, because it just always, it didn't always make sense to me. Number one, I didn't condemn anybody because we're all human. So if sin, and I know we'll clear this up as we go, but if sin is a part of being human, then why should I condemn you for it? And then you catch on really quick that they're ranking sins. You know, there's some bigger than others. Mm-hmm. And then somebody will say, well, sin is sin. And so there's, you know, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if that's the case, why are we condemning each other? And especially, why are you, and listen, let me just throw this out there really quick. Like, I was a rank sinner because I got a divorce. So the whole church just like was horrible, and I became a leper. And I'm thinking, but I know some of y'all's crap in here. You know, I like, it's not even sin. It's S-H-Y-T. I know your stuff. And you are condemning me. The thing didn't make any sense. And that's when I said, all right, I'm out. So, you know, out of that particular fellowship of a believer. But that's the thing about sin. It's like a tool that's used to control people. And like, doesn't anybody get it? You know, you're being controlled. Why is this? This is a hot button, you know? I'm really
it
like,
is a hot button.
Because there's no grace in it. It's no love in it.
Yeah. Well, there's two ways, as far as I'm concerned, in the New Thought framework to talk about sin. And we'll start with the word itself, because the etymology is always fun if you look at the word sin, you know where it came from. Mm-hmm. It's an archery term.
Yeah. It's an archery term, yeah.
It's an archery term, and it means to miss the mark. So you're aiming at the yellow circle in the middle of the target, and you hit the red ring. That's a sin. That's it. Mm-hmm. It's and you're not bad. You might lose the archery challenge, you know.
but it's it, right? You missed the mark.
It's identifying your target and falling short, or hitting wide of the target, not getting exactly what it was that you were intending. And if that was the origins of the word, if that was the original sin, then we've just added a whole bunch of stuff onto it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
but that's what you have to do that to keep the thing machine going. And
yeah,
it's this, you know, it's the same with a lot of things. I have a good friend that's been with me for 50 years or so. And she would get mad at me like through the years because I would never condemn her for things that she would be confessing to me. And then she'd get mad. You just think everything is okay, you know? Or she'd get in a group and say, don't talk to her because she just thinks everything is all right and she's just going to forgive everything. And I'm thinking like, I'm not forgiving anything. But what do you want, right? I'm sorry. And we remain friends to this day, but that was her thing.
Okay. And if some people need an outside force to be responsible for what happens in their life. Mm-hmm. Oh, I wanted something and I didn't get it. And it must be because I sinned. So that's why God didn't give it to me. And it's a very complex process. And that's the way that we get to identify those things on which we can pin our disappointments. Oh, I'm a sinner. I didn't get it because of this, because I did that when I was a kid, because I did that yesterday, because I had crosswords with X, Y, or Z. And it's simply a very complex and sophisticated manner of giving away our power.
Yes.
You know,
yes, it is.
If you would imagine an archery challenge or experience where you shoot the arrow, and then after the arrow is like in the bale of hay, then you go draw the target. Everybody gets a bullseye. But that's not the game. The game is to say, this is what I'm intending. And then you shoot and then something happens. Now, it could be the breeze. It could be the way that you were holding the bow. It could be any number of things. But there's a learning experience there. We get to go through a cycle. Say, oh, well, I missed the bale of hay entirely. Hope the arrow didn't go into the neighbor's yard. And then we practice and we refine and we get better. And the same thing happens in all of the areas of our lives. If we're doing something and it's causing havoc, it's causing problems and turmoil for us or for other people, there's a feedback loop where we get told that that's not a good thing. And if you want to label it as a sin along the way because other people have some judgment about it, and the reason that you're going to stop doing it or change what you're doing is because of the way that they're judging you, if you need that, then have at it. But if you can notice, here's this thing that I'm doing that's really not helpful, and let me change it myself, then it's the same feedback loop without the energy.
Okay. And then when people connect it with God, you know, that's the hurtful part. And I'm not angry about that, but it sounds like I am, because you paint a picture of a God. Now, again, cross the street, so God is out there somewhere. And you have to do all these things that please God really well, or you're just like screwed. So, you know, now all of this contrived definitions and all of this stuff, you pin it on God, and you have no hope. There's just no hope. When they get finished with you, there's no hope, because you have to either line up with this group or this group, and the beliefs of this group, and you're never going to make it. But when you look at God differently, and you use the term alignment and, you know, getting in alignment, it's a whole different feeling. It starts from a place of love, like getting in line or alignment with what is love and beautiful and sweet. Mm-hmm. Not this other kind of stuff that makes, you know, like I did some work with people who tried to commit suicide, didn't make it, and didn't do a good job. And I'd always greet them with a smile and say, you know, you're probably pretty pissed off that didn't work. Yeah, that's a big decision. But not to take it lightly, it's just that it's putting everything where it belongs and not hanging the negative on God, because you never will win if you do it that way. Nobody wins like that.
Right.
Only the ones who can speak the fastest, talk the loudest, you know, or have the microphone.
Yeah. Well, you know, the discount stores say we cut out the middleman, you know, and
right.
The sin and forgiveness with God in the middle of it, it's the ultimate middleman, because you can't talk to God and get a clear answer. And if you're confused about what the answer is, then it's because there's this infinite creative power out there, this controlling power out there that's deciding something about your life, and you have no idea what it is. So being able to play that game and have that approach lets us be victims of whatever's going on in our lives without having to own our stuff. And it also gives away the power that we have to create the life experience that we want to have instead. We can do that. We can't do it while we're victims. We have to claim our power and stand in our power and use that power to create something new in our lives. And that is terrifying.
It's terrifying, but it's like, what? Okay, so my mother-in-law, she was really simplistic about it, about things, period. You did something wrong and it didn't work out on you, and she'd say, well, guess you won't do that no more. And mm-hmm. she had a little stronger way of saying it, but that was pretty much what it was. And I don't know if I had ever heard anybody simplify things like that, but that's what it is. If it's causing you difficulty, you know, you missed the mark. Okay, well, don't do it the same way anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Don't, you know, just think about it and carefully make the adjustment and give it another shot. It's not the end of the world. You know, it's just, right. It's not. And go ahead. I'm sorry, because I'll just go on with this, because I've seen people's lives, I won't say destroyed, but yeah, pretty much sometimes. They can't on.
No, they can't. It's very difficult. The whole thing can pretty much be explained by the law of attraction. Whatever that energetic vibration is that we're putting out, we're attracting the same to us. And if we have the belief that we are flawed and need to be punished, then we will. And if we believe that we are loving and kind and gentle, then we get to act that way. And we will attract into our orbit people who feel the same way. People have that same energetic vibration. And we will tend to be surrounded by people and events that mirror what we believe. That's the law of attraction. And if I believe that I need to be punished if I do one of these things that I label as a sin, then I will. And maybe that's what gets me to stop doing it or to change it, is because it's a sin and God doesn't want me to do that. Or the people who talk to God more than I do, because that's, you know, what clergy and the hierarchy is for. There's somebody else who's standing between me and the big guy who's going to tell me what the sin was and why I'm not getting what I should be getting. And it becomes exhausting. So what we are able to do is to own our stuff, let go of the idea that it's a sin. If something is possible, then it can happen. And if we don't want it to happen, or if we don't want to be involved in it, then we can make the choice to not be involved in it. One of the most powerful things about the idea of this is a sin is who gets to label something as a sin.
Yeah.
And it kind of turns into the opposite of the golden rule, which is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Okay, this whole hierarchy of sin is tell people what not to do to you before they even try it.
Yeah. I'm good at that. Yeah. Yeah. You use the word pivot in other scenarios. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really one of those words that you can bring in anytime. You have a choice. You have a choice of what you do, and you have a choice with what you think about it. Mm-hmm. And you were talking about the law of attraction. If it doesn't work, you can find another, across the street is what I call it. Look at it from another perspective. It doesn't have to be the way, you know, I was looking at somebody was putting together a Bible study course, and they were consulting me about it. And I thought, oh, I'm not the right person to consult anymore. But anyway, they did. And I thought I would give them my best advice. And I looked at all of the wonderful translations that they were using and studies. And I said, you know what? You just have 12 of the same things. You don't have any different perspectives here. You're just using the same person just wrote it in a different way, but it's still the same perspective. So I think when you're making the pivot, you don't want to pivot in the same direction, like just take a little spin or, you know, if you're going to look at something different, then let it be different. Mm-hmm. You know, don't just say the same thing in the same way. When I left the church that just rejected me, I said, okay, I'm out. I'm out. And it was kind of easy though, because everybody had rejected me. So I didn't really have anybody to reject. I didn't have anybody to say,
well,
I'm not
talking.
Hanging
up all your things and leaving is easy. You don't have any things left.
Yeah. So, you know, nobody was trying to chase me down anyway. So, but it's saying, okay, I'm going to look at this a different way. This is not going to take my life. I'm not a bad person because of this. It may have not been the best choice, you know, but we do the best we can with what we've got at the time. So if I had it to do again, not that particular thing, but if I had it to do again, maybe I would do it differently. Or you have to take your own power, stand in your own power and say, this is not, it works or it doesn't work. Not because so-and-so said it, but because being authentic to who I am and what I feel, it's not working for me. And there's no punishment in that, right?
Right.
You don't go to hell for that.
Nope. And by the way, if you found yourself in your younger years in the same situation, being in a marriage that you shouldn't be in, then what you probably would have done differently was not stay in the marriage, but be prepared for what's going to happen at the church.
Exactly. And I was fully not prepared for that. So. Yeah. You know, I've often looked back and said, well, that was dumb. You should have told, you shouldn't have said this. But I didn't know. I didn't know, right?
You didn't know. Let's take a break and we will continue and talk some more about the pivot. I think there's a thing there. Is Reverend Bill letting you know that the Practical Prayer for Real Results class is now available on demand. That's right, you can take it at your own pace, anytime you want. All of the information is at BeTheLight.com. That's B-The-Light.com. You know where to find that stuff. The class is 5 lessons, broken down into 18 modules, and you can take them at whatever pace is comfortable for you. As you work through the process, it starts out with the theory, goes into the practice, there are experiential activities and exercises, and at the end of the program, you will wind up with an understanding of how practical prayer works, and a practical prayer for yourself that will work to create transformation in your life. And as you know, it works for everything. Take a look at the class online at BeTheLight.com. There's a sample lesson so you can see how the class is going to work for you and then dive in. The great news is it's on sale now. You can register and save $20 off of the regular price. I'm looking forward to seeing you in class.
Welcome back to the Practical Prayer Podcast. I'm Carol, here with Reverend Dr. Bill Marchione. Conversation is amazing.
Yeah, we're talking about sin. Sin, yeah. Which is that a big, scary concept that exists in traditional religions and not so much in the New Thought thing that that we're talking about here. And as we discussed previously, the word sin actually came from an archery term, which means to miss the mark. And when we are having an experience in our lives which we don't like, and previous thinking or other thinking might tell us that there is some sort of a sin that's going on, which is why we don't deserve the good that we're seeking, that's a time to look at, well, what's the experience I want to have instead? And there's a pivot in there, because there's the experience that we've been having. We're seeing how far away from the center of the target it is. We need to be really clear where the target is, what we want to be experiencing. And then we need to look at ourselves and say, am I the sort of person who's going to hit that target? Is it possible for me to be the sort of person who's going to hit that target? Or am I destined to keep on flailing and failing and not succeeding at doing whatever I want and have that show up in our lives. Now, and it happens with everything. It happens with, you know, people who always wind up working for jerks. You know, every job I get, it's always wind up working for a jerk, and then it's awful and get into arguments, and then I have to leave and then get another job working for another jerk. Well, same thing with relationships. You know, I keep on getting in relationships with women who act the same way. Well, you know what they all have in common, right? You. Every one of those bad managers had you as an employee. So maybe the connecting factor is not the bad managers. Maybe there's some energy that you're bringing to it. And the change that's going to happen is not to finally find a good manager, but to finally figure out what kind of employee you want to be and bring that to work or to the relationship. And that's where the pivot is. Am I the sort of person who can have that?
Yeah. Yeah. But you got, what about, you like got to get a grip on that ego and not hold on to it so much. Be brave, I think I want to say, and say, okay, I could be the jerk in this. I could be. I don't want to be. I hope I'm not. But just, you know, at the very least, say, well, let me take a look at it just in case I am the jerk. And, you know, you don't have to confess it. Just take a look at it from a different perspective. And you might see something. Right?
Yeah. Maybe it is me.
Maybe it is.
Maybe what all those girlfriends said, every one of them who never met each other said exactly the same thing about me. Maybe it's me.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. And okay. And so then what? You know, all this time you think you're doing the right thing. Well, try something different. Mm-hmm. You know, because everybody's not wrong.
Yeah. And if I keep on putting the bow in the arrow or put the arrow in the bow and pulling back and hitting the side of the barn instead of the target, if I insist that I'm shooting right, that I'm a great archer, and I keep on like hitting the side of the barn until I'm willing to say, you know, maybe there's some technique here that I could master, I could do a little better. And I'm going to get a different result. And that is the pivot. That's where we open ourselves up to a different possibility. Maybe I can look in a different direction. Maybe my bowling technique that keeps on knocking the pins over three lanes down is not the way to do it.
Yes. That's a great visual. That's all I can say. Yes. You know, this, yeah. Yes, that's all I'm saying. Yes. I'm not confessing anything here on the World Wide Web. I'm just saying. I agree with you 100%. And it ain't about me bowling either.
It is possible that what other people are saying is correct. And it's not correct because they're saying it. And it's not correct because they have identified it as a sin or some way of judging you to be less than and then pasted that label. It might be because they're observing what's going on and suggesting to you as you look at it. So if the language is sin and you have been tagged with being a sinner, then instead of carrying the energy of, oh, I'm a sinner and I deserve to have all to have the bad things happening in my life and I don't deserve the good things that I want, we've missed the point. We've once again missed the mark. If I find that I've been engaged in something that's not giving me the experience that I want, it's time for me to do something different.
Yeah, and can we get to the definition? You know, like, it's not that you're a bad person. You know, that's the thing that I found so difficult on the other side of the street. There's something bad about, okay, you know, it's Adam, right? It goes back to the original sin. I'm like, I can't even have this discussion. Listen. anyway, it's not that the person is bad. You just made an inconvenient decision or a decision that wasn't the best. Do the work, okay, the pivot or whatever, and make a different decision and be all right with it. And if people don't like it, tough, you know, because I noticed people that were very judgmental just having a wonderful time with their life. You know, they're...
yeah. Judging other
people. And I used to say, yeah, because, and I would say, you know what? You're sitting there because you're sitting high and lifted up because nobody knows your S-H-Y-T. You got some. It's just nobody knows it, you know?
Right.
And think about that. Let's level the playing field here, and then it becomes different.
Yep.
Yeah? It's either we're all, you know, my husband was going into a new church, and it was the banquet that they, you know, invite everybody in the world to meet the new pastor. And one of the officers in the church was at the microphone, and he said, and it's just, you know, he's just a dirty, rotten sinner like the rest of us. Well, I'm looking at thinking, what just happened here? You know, you don't know this man. You're welcoming him to the neighborhood, to the city. And you say that? You're thinking it's crazy. But listen, I wasn't the pastor and I had to come back the next week. But I thought, you know, to my husband, Guy, you got your hands full on this one. But that's the attitude sometimes that people have, that rather than we are the same because we all are reflections of God in our own different ways, the definition is different, you know, dirty, rotten, low-down sinners, or we are all reflections of God. Which is it?
Right. And the adjectives there, that like dirty, rotten, low-down, it doesn't matter what you put after that. You're trying to put a differential in where the person who you're talking about is down lower than where you are. In fact, dirty, low-down, yes, is where they are. Yeah. Yeah, so there's that. You were talking a little bit about original sin and Adam. And I'm going through the story briefly in my mind. So the whole thing was that there was the tree with the apple, and God said, don't eat from the tree. And there was some shenanigans that went on, and they wound up eating from the tree. And people think it's the tree of knowledge, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you're evil, the word evil jumps out. And the tree, you know, the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil is discernment. And when humanity took its power to embrace the ability to choose, that's how you describe that. Because we know. Yes. We know when there's going to be a repercussion. We know. We have the ability to anticipate the results of our actions. We can do experiments, keep track of what happened last time, and then maybe not do the same thing next time. Or if we want to get the same result next time, we do it exactly the same way because we kept notes. So that's how knowledge unfolds. So was that a bad thing or a good thing? It depends on which pulpit you're sitting in.
And yeah, you have to... The one in the pulpit, or if you're looking up, I think it's fair to try to see what the motives are of your leadership. Mm-hmm. You know, if it is to keep you ignorant so that you can be controlled, you know what? You need to get up right then and leave. Like, don't even wait for the benediction. Just go. And I think that... And this is not all this new thought coming to me. You know, that's why my whole career was a little iffy when it comes to my colleagues, because I just never believed in taking the power away from people, the power to think, make choices, and to objectively try to see God. And to objectively try to see God, you have to look in different ways and consider different possibilities other than the one that's being given to you. I don't see anything wrong with that. A lot of people do, but I don't. You know, I raise my kids that way. So, you know, don't go out here and just be a pawn in somebody else's game. You know, start your own game.
There you go.
Well, I don't know how. Live. Figure it out. You can figure it out.
Yeah. We're going to take another break. And first, I want to make the observation that one of the practical prayer practitioners in my group, New Thought Philadelphia, made the observation a few weeks back that spirituality is a personal relationship with God, and religion is crowd control. We'll just leave it at that.
Learn to put practical prayer to work in your life. The steps are simple to learn and let you begin to get real results to create the life of your dreams immediately. Reverend Bill Marchione's widely acclaimed book, Practical Prayer for Real Results, gives you a clear summary of the New Thought principles behind practical prayer and the series of easy-to-understand steps found in the most effective prayers from religions and spiritual practices all over the world and throughout history. Practical prayer is not a replacement for your religion or practice. It's a technique to make the work you do in consciousness even more effective. The book includes 40 prayers on various topics that you can adapt as needed and use as your own. Practical Prayer for Real Results is available in paperback, Kindle, and audiobook on Amazon or at b-the-light.com. That's b-the-light.com.
Welcome back to the Practical Prayer Podcast. I'm Carol, here with Reverend Dr. Bill Marchione. Yeah?
Okay. Great. A low-down sinner? Can I be the low-down sinner this time?
Listen, let's just give it up, you know.
Okay.
Level the playing field, then you can't blame anybody.
Well, yeah. And this whole teaching is about oneness. If there's only one, then first of all, there's nobody to blame. And second of all, there's nobody to be less than. So everything is the one. So we're going to do a prayer. And I think it's going to be about the pivot. It's about doing the pivot. But there are two important parts in the pivot. There's, first of all, the willingness to have clarity about what it is that we're doing. And second of all, the willingness to change something, to engage differently. And so there's a magical question in there. Like, well, maybe it's me. What if it is me? So let's do a prayer. And the prayer is about opening to a new possibility. And this is especially helpful if there's something going on in our life that we're not really that happy with, if there's an experience that we'd like to change, especially if it's the sort of thing that happens over and over and over again. I always have this sort of problem with my employer or my manager. I always have these sorts of problems with my teachers or my romantic partners. I always have this challenge with my finances. It doesn't matter what I do, I never have enough money. If we keep on looking at the situation the same way that we've been looking at the situation, thinking that the problem is out there and for some reason it comes chasing after us, we've lost the opportunity to have some transformation, to have something different happen in our lives. It's the belief, whatever caused it the first time, is still there. That's what attracted that first irritating experience, unhappy relationship, financial struggle. Whatever it is that caused the first one is still operative until we bring it up, understand what it's bringing us, and then pivot to something different. And it might be something that we learned when we were younger. It might be something that everybody has always done. Maybe my family has always had financial difficulties and I'm just continuing along in that same process. Well, if I continue looking at my financial challenge and saying this is the problem, I keep on beating my head against the same problem, it doesn't help. I'm complaining about the problem. What I want to do instead is pivot and look at what I want to have instead. So if it's been a lack and limitation and financial stress, what does financial freedom look like? What does prosperity look like to me? Am I the sort of person who could have that? Because if I don't really see how I could have that prosperity, then it's me. I'm the one who's inviting that. It's not a force outside of me. Same thing with a relationship. If I keep on having relationships that end in the same unhappy fashion, there's something going on in me that's attracting and the people who are willing to do that dance with me, and perhaps forcing us along the same pattern until we get to the same unhappy result. Maybe it's me. Maybe I have to look at what it is that I believe about a happy relationship. Maybe there's one of the people in the happy relationship that needs to be behaving a little differently, and it's me. What are the things that I could do differently? How do I pivot away from what's not serving me to something new? And we do that by turning our attention away from the specifics of the problem to that infinite power and presence, to that divine source of everything. It's God, it's nature, it's spirit, it's the Big Bang. It's the source from which everything flows. And that everything includes each of us. Everyone within the sound of my voice is a divine and perfect expression of God's infinite love taking particular form in the right here and right now of experience. Everything that has led up until this moment has been that divine essence expressed in its own way. All of those experiences that have led to this particular point have been that divine love bringing us here. And the next step is not bound by the steps that have come before. That next experience could be anything, as good as we could possibly have imagined, and even better. And somewhere in there, that divine intelligence, that infinite creative power, is able to suggest to us what it is that's no longer working and open our awareness to something new. That's the pivot. As we turn away from what has not been serving us, as we turn away from the shadows and towards the light, opening ourselves up to that new goodness. And that infinite intelligence, that divine guidance, is perfectly willing to suggest to us that which is ours to let go of and that which is ours to embrace. If there are steps to be taken, we are guided in those steps. And with the willingness and the enthusiasm to take those steps in a brand new direction, to move past the doubt or the fear that it can't possibly work, or it's not going to help me, or it's too scary to try that step. As we turn away from whatever it is that's holding us back and open to that newness, that infinite creative power is creating something new and wonderful for us, as us, with us, bringing something new into the world, a new experience that we've never had before. Good and more good and more good in whatever area we're considering. It is always possible. The pivot is always possible. And I call upon that infinite intelligence to provide us with the guidance, each in our own way, about that next perfect step to take. And I set the intention that each one, within the sound of my voice, is taking those next steps, and pausing again for the guidance again, and allowing the good to continue to unfold better and better and better still. And love is at hand. I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful for the good. I'm grateful for the way this wonderful new experience is unfolding for each one. I'm grateful for the awareness of this creative process and the ability to take part in it, to set this intention, to make this invitation, to speak this word, and release it into that same creative law that creates everything. And to know without any doubt whatsoever that it is now creating this. And so I let it be. And so it is.
The Practical Prayer Podcast with Reverend Bill Marchione and Carol Lawrence is a production of BeTheLight.com.
BeTheLight.com.
Where you can find more information about practical prayer for real results.
Our theme is by Music of Wisdom. You can learn about the spiritual community of New Thought Philadelphia with daily guided meditations,
weekly celebrations of spirit,
and Reverend Bill's classes in practical spirituality
at newthoughtphilly.org.
This podcast is supported by listeners like you. We're grateful for your tax-deductible donation at newthoughtphilly.org or the link in the episode description.